We're going to open the Bible to the book of 1 John this morning. 1 John chapter 4, if
you look at your bulletin, you'll realize it says 1 Corinthians that we're going to speak from. But as I was going through the week, and I said I would never say this, but it just didn't work. And so Thursday night, I tossed the sermon away and said, all right, Friday's coming, let's start over. So we changed the passage and I began to write this passage. And then when we got home from a family reunion last night, I rewrote a little bit again. And this morning when I got here at 7 o'clock, you got to make some more changes, Doug. And so I want to just pray this morning as we open God's word that God would just bring to life and bring clarity to what I believe God wants to hear this morning. Let's pray together. God, as we open your word, we just pray that the truth of the gospel would be proclaimed. We pray that you would bring the words that you obviously want us to hear this morning to life. And that the truth of your word would come to life in a mighty, in a vibrant way. That we would be drawn into a deeper understanding of the God who is love and who invites us to the table of love and to respond in love. So, Word, bring your word to us in a mighty and a fresh and in a vibrant way. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look to God's word, it's not going to be on the screen because I've made so many changes. The poor PowerPoint team would just be shaking their heads. In 1 John chapter 4, the author John has in the background of the text laying some parameters around the Christian faith. And 1 John, if you know nothing about the Christian faith, this is the book that you should read. It's the easiest to understand. And he wants to give the hearers the assurance of faith and their life of Jesus. Now, here's a very important reason why. During the time of the writing of 1 John chapter 4, there was this false religion, this false teaching called Gnosticism going around, which said that knowledge is good, the material is bad, in that the spirit is good as well. It became very predominant in the second century. And here's two things that tie into our passage, that tie into our understanding of the Lord's Supper, that were thorns in the flesh, you could say, that were false teachings that went around. The first was this. It was something called Docetism. Docetism basically said that the person of Jesus in his humanity was simply a ghost. It wasn't reality. He wasn't fully man at all. And the other one was Sertianism. That simply said that at times he was God and at times he was man. And we know that the overwhelming message of the Bible says is that Jesus is fully God and Jesus is fully man. And that as man and as God, he entered into the world. As man and as God, he died on the cross. And as man and as God, he ascended to the Father where he reigns and he will come again. That's the context. Here's the passage. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. This is how he showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. I believe that is the most profound statement that the Church of Jesus Christ could ever make, that God is love. But why is it then, when we talk about God, more often than not, this is what we hear. God is unloving. God is distant. God is judgmental. God is angry. God is distant. God is aloof to the concerns of the world. He's so far away that he is impersonal. I wonder if sometimes in our message to the world, if we have lost sight of the magnificence of who God is, of the power and of the wonder of the bread and of the cup to which we will celebrate, to the marvelous wonder of grace in our lives. I wonder if the message that we proclaim is heard in our world today. Here's the key verse I want us to hear over and over this morning. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Notice the progression of the text. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Think about it for a moment. God sent his one and only Son into a broken, in a lost world. God so loved us that he sent his only Son into a world that would reject him, that would ridicule him, that would persecute him. God sent his one and only Son, and he willingly came, knowing that he would die. And here's the one that gets me. And as I was preparing for this morning, it said, shivers down my spine. Even then, when he went to the cross, Jesus uttered these words. And if they don't share the love of God, I don't know what does. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was a story that came to life in 1989. A guy named Manning was going around and he was doing lectures. And people were wowed by how this guy could speak. The message that he was given was transforming their lives. And yet Manning was wondering about that message himself, wondering why he wasn't experiencing that same awe and that same wonder that those he spoke to were experiencing. And so he went to his adopted mother, as he often did, and they began to talk. Here sat this 87-year-old woman. They began to tell stories of how these two boys, Manning and Brennan, used to goof around all the time. But the story began to change. He needed to go back to 1952, when Brennan and Manning were in a hole in Korea together. And as they were in that foxhole, a grenade came into that foxhole, and Brennan dropped everything that he was doing, and he threw his body onto the grenade, and it went off. About 8 years later, Manning went into the priesthood, and as often was, you would change your name. And so he began to change his name to Brennan, in remembrance of a friend who sacrificed his life for him. His conversation now goes back to 1989. And he asks his adopted mother, who was Brennan's mom, "Do you think that Brennan loved me?" She didn't know whether she should take Manning seriously or not. I mean, he was always the joking type. But then she realized that he was serious. And she began to get angry. "Don't talk about my boy like that. We don't ever have to have this conversation again," she said. And then she went with this statement. "What more could my son do to tell you that he loves you?" Maybe this morning we need to hear that answer ourselves. And people of God, this is it. What more could God do to tell you, to tell the world that he loves us? And then her anger subsided, and she simply says, I get it. Because sometimes we need to be reminded. Just like the early followers did when he said, this is my body, which is given for you. And then when they would sup, he would be reminded that this cup was the New Testament or the New Covenant in his blood. And it would remind them of how much he loved them. A little later on, in chapter 5, he says this, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for another. What more could God do? What more would God have to tell us that he loves us? And I begin to hear that story already from the beginning of the Bible. When he says in our passage that God loved us. People of God, when did God love you? God loved you from the very beginning of the world when he created it. When did God love you? The book of Romans says this, that God loved us when we were far off. Book of Romans goes on and says that God loved us while we were still yet sinners. God loved us when we rejected him and he ridiculed him. When we pushed him away and we said, I don't want anything to do with you. God loved a woman in the Bible who was a streetwalker. And she ended up pouring perfume and giving the ultimate testimony of beauty and love to Jesus as she washed his feet. God loved a tax collector whose name was Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over and we're going to hang out together. God loved a bunch of guys who just couldn't get their act together. I mean, their faith wasn't even so powerful that every time he challenged them, that they kind of crumbled. And yet he says, with you I'll build my church. And then we go to Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension. And who does Jesus come to? Jesus comes to the hurting, to the broken, to the lonely, to the wandering, to those who simply say, Jesus, I want to believe. But if you have to touch my hands and my feet, believe the good news. God so loved us, it says in our text. Not that we loved God, but that he sent his only son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which was poured out for you. Whenever you hear the story of love in the Bible, you are hearing the story of the crucifixion. Because when we talk about the blood in the Bible, blood was the symbol of life. And so when Jesus pours out his blood, he gives the very essence of who he is for the world in which he loves. And here is a profound statement of love. Because in this statement, the mystery of the gospel comes to life. This act, which happened some 2,000 years ago, is brought into the present, and by the very same means of Jesus giving his life, is saying to you and to me, I want to change you. I want to touch you. I want to restore you. Come and eat. Come and drink. Those who believe, so that you would be encouraged for the journey, that you would be refreshed, that you would be able to be strengthened and say, look at what God has done. We hear the gospel. And this morning, in a few moments, as you will hold the bread and you will hold the cup, feel the love of God. As you can smell the bread and you can smell the grapes coming together in the juice, begin to smell the gospel. as you begin to taste the bread and taste the cup, taste the love of the Savior for you and for me. When you hear the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, what do you hear? What comes to life for you? For me, it's this. This is love. Not that we loved, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Have you ever wondered what that really meant? When it says that Jesus came to die for you and me, it means that the one who was perfect in every way, because remember, the hearers would have understood it. They would have understood the Old Testament law. They would have understood when the high priest would go into the holies once a year and make atonement for the sins of the people. And an animal that was perfect would be brought forth and would be laid on the altar. And they would repeat it year after year after year. But now, because of Christ, that never needs to be repeated again. Christ was perfect in every way. Here's the good news, people of God, that the sin of the world has been taken care of. The atoning sacrifice that we celebrate this morning. And I'm going to use two churchy words, and I'll explain them very quickly. Expiation and propitiation. Expiation is this, is that God does something to our sin. It simply means that God, by sending His Son to die, by giving His life for us, takes away all of our sin, past, present, and future. It's nailed to the cross, and as the old hymn goes, and we bear it no more. The other big word simply means that something happens to God. And God's anger is appeased. The penalty has been paid. It's as if now the slate has been wiped clean. And because of all of that, and the work of Christ on the cross means reconciliation. It means that the relationship can be restored. It means that you and I can engage with God, and we can move into a deeper and a more abiding relationship with God. It means deliverance. The atoning sacrifice means not only forgiveness, deliverance, but it also means that we will be able to spend all of eternity with God. And not only that, but we can enjoy the riches and the joy and the exciting life of a loving relationship with God who relentlessly pursues us. But here's the message of the gospel. And here's the question. How does that play out, in which way the church reveals this to the world? There's a story that I think is true and gives a picture of how the world views the church. Matt Chandler tells the story of a day that he took a young girl to a concert. And much like in the 80s, most Christian concerts, there was a guy who would give a message. Now, this speaker, this pastor, he blew it in its entirety. In trying to tell the story of the love of God, he used a rose and he brought it up. He had said that he had just picked it up that day. And he began to talk about all the things in the world that we do that are bad, that push us away from God. It's true, it's sin. But then he simply said at the end, when this rose was destroyed, who would want it anyway? And he ended his talk. Let's just say the girl did not respond to the invitation. She got into a car accident a couple weeks later, and she asked Matt to come and see her. And out of nowhere, she said to Matt, "Am I a broken, dirty rose? Could God ever love me?" Sometimes I think that's what the world hears. That you gotta be good enough. That you gotta have it all together. That when you fix yourself up, God might love you. But that's not what I hear in our passage. That's not what I hear in communion. What I hear, and Matt's answer to the young girl was right. He said this: God came for the dirty roses. And God wants to restore you. God wants to renew you. God wants to turn you into a beautiful picture of his grace. God loves you. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin. What do you hear? And I'm not going to make this a rhetorical question. What do you hear this morning when you hear the body of Christ given for you? What do you hear when you hear the blood of Christ given for you? If I were to ask you that question, what might you say? Yeah, just say it out loud. Go ahead. God loves me. And you know what? I think that's what our world needs to hear. You're absolutely right. And I think for us this morning, to hear those words that God loves us, it's pretty powerful. What else do you hear? Forgiveness. I don't know what's that like for you, but for me to know that, man, everything I've ever done is nailed to a cross, man, that's love. What's that? Sorry.
Also forgotten and is forgotten.
And he forgives it and he remembers it no more. Absolutely. And as we partake and we hear those words, just as you hear the word of God proclaimed, and now you will touch it and you will taste it and you will feel it, what happens in our lives? Of response, our thankfulness, and there's one of joy. Sorry?
Faith?
Yeah, faith comes out. Here's what I find, and I wonder if you find that as well, is that as we eat and as we drink, my faith is encouraged. And I can say, because of God's grace, I'm redeemed. Because of God's grace, I'm worthy. Because of God's grace, I am a child of the King. Because of God's grace, I am an expression of his love and his majesty. And my hope that as we participate, you will be overwhelmed by the wonder and the awe of the one who came into the world for you. And he said, I love you so much that I'm going to give the essence of my life that you might be able to be a part of the kingdom of God. And now the text moves on. And it says this: Dear friends, now that you have heard of this love of God, we should love one another. It's verse 11. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. How do you love in a sacrificial way like this? Personally, I think it begins by asking the question, who are those that I need to be more patient with? Who are those that I need to forgive? Who do I need to be more accepting of? Whose broken story? Maybe it's someone who doesn't know God or somebody who's religiously pious. Is God inviting me into? This is another way for us to respond. But what about the church? Who is God calling the church? That's us all together. To be more accepting of. Whose stories are God inviting us to as Community Christian Reformed Church to enter into? As a church that desires to reach out and fold, one of our statements is to be a place of hope, healing, and inspiration. The other statement is to be diverse in age and culture. Whose story is God calling Community Christian Reformed Church into to simply say, God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life? I think it begins this way for us this morning. With one simple question. God, will you give me eyes to see and ears to hear the stories that you want me to enter into? Will you give me eyes to see and ears to hear the story of those whom you want me to enter into? And here's what John will tell you as he wraps up his life, is that the more I engage with God, the more I understand his holiness, and the more I see how he works. And John will tell us this morning that as you seek God in his word, in the table, and to live for him, God will provide the opportunity. May we have the wisdom to simply say, I'll follow. And I know that you will give me the words, or the lack of words, the ability to know what to do or not to do, because you're going to bring me to the place where I will simply love as you have loved. And I'll trust that you'll bring those to whom I enter into relationship with into a knowledge of your goodness and your wonder and your love. Amen. We're going to celebrate together the Lord's Supper. This is love. If you love Jesus, you are welcome to come to the table. We've already talked about it, but when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, he took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And here's what I love. And he told them to do it often. After they ate, they took the cup and they supped, or they drank together. And he reminded them of his great love. And he said, do it often. And he told them to do it often. And every time they did it, they would be reminded of his finished work on the cross. We're going to invite those who will be serving and those who will be leading in music to come forward at this time as we celebrate together.